You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Let's Edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley, and it's Stevie Nicol. Only one place really to start today's show, and that is in Manchester. Of course, the big game in the Champions League saw City take on PSG. City dominated pretty much from start to finish, but in fact, it was the visitors who would take the lead 5 minutes into the second half. Kylian Mbappe on the break, making it 1-0. Sterling then with the equaliser. Jesus coming on as a substitute to make it 2-1 to hand City all 3 points and guarantee them top spot in Group A and, of course, a place in the next round of the Champions League. Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent are with us as well to give us a French perspective on things. But Craig,
I feel a rant coming on, not from me.
Well, I tell you what, starting, some bad language was used from Jules.
Well,
and then we have to apologise for everyone working on this show, how frustrated he was with the performance from PSG.
Well, it was embarrassing.
Well, but Jules' language.
We cannot condone any sort of bad. No, but I tell you what, this happened over the two games.
Right.
The game in Paris slightly papered over the cracks. Man City completely outplayed them in Paris. Messi scored that wonder goal. I can't remember the other goal in the game, but they won 2-0. It was a travesty. It kind of felt after they took the lead, it was going to happen again. But they were so bad tonight that the only thing City could be in the dressing room banging their head in the wall, how did we not score 4 or 5 goals? Yeah. It was men against boys. It looked like an average team in the Premier League, gone to Manchester, not seen a lot of the ball, and on top of that, their work rate. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, but that there is something really, really wrong at that place at the moment. Mm.
Go on, Jules.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, I agree with Craig. This was not good enough. I think it shows the gap between PSG and City, but not just PSG and City. I think you could have put Liverpool or Bayern or Chelsea instead of City and we would have had the same kind of game. Right now, that team cannot compete because your front three don't run, don't defend. You're exposed. Your manager right now has his mind somewhere else, for sure, but he's not even doing enough on the pitch in terms of team selection. And of course, Verratti out injured this morning was bad. Wijnaldum, okay. But still, some of the substitutions that he made, Di Maria for Gay, that made no sense whatsoever. The fact that we knew exactly what City were going to do and clearly PSG were not prepared to beat the press, for example. You look at the stats in terms of sprints, City as a team made 160 sprints, PSG 110. I mean, how? You're the team that runs the less in the whole world. Not just the Champions League, in the whole world. You don't sprint, you don't defend, you don't run. There's no unity, there's no collective strength. There's nothing. And I thought tonight, we knew it. Craig is right, we knew it. This is not new. But I thought tonight, it showed even more than ever before.
Steve, when Messi went in the summer, we were like, wow, you know, this PSG side are going to be unstoppable. They're going to be great to watch. They've been anything but. Why?
I think we underestimated the desire of the three of them. I thought number one when Messi went there, that would change Neymar. I thought he's going to go back to the Neymar of Barcelona with Messi.
Right.
I thought Mbappe with Messi coming, he's going to look up to him. He's going to try and do everything he can to impress him. And then, of course, we know that Messi's the ultimate professional. And so, right off the bat, I know I did, I went, wow, they've got a chance of winning the Champions League. Because if you've got a front three like this, you can get away with losing goals.
Right.
But the longer they play together and the more they play together, the less and less I'm beginning to believe that. And right now, I don't think they can.
Well, there's three guys.
They can't.
Before we go to Mr. Leboeuf, there's three guys who you could argue don't really want to be there. You know, Mbappe effectively wants to be in Madrid. He can say he's given his all to the end of the season. He scored, whatever, but he really, he's thinking about pastures new. Neymar's only there because he left Barcelona to get out of Messi's shadow, but he, I think, sees the whole thing as a good excuse and an easy ride to loads of money and, you know, a bit of party life in Paris. And Messi would rather have been back at Barca. Didn't want to leave in the first place.
He'd probably throw Poch in, so, as well, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Throw the manager in there.
And so when you add all that in, great players, but really it's about balance at the moment, and the balance of that team is just absolutely horrendous. And when you throw a bad balance in, and then you throw the desire in and work rate, I'm sorry, but it's not going to cut it at the moment.
Frank, what really struck you from today's game?
Oh, my God. Nothing. I had just the confirmation of what I think about Paris Saint-Germain since the beginning. And already last year, without Messi, I was telling you that it was impossible to play already with one megastar. But with two, it's almost impossible. And with three, it's a suicide. Because really, you cannot work like that. As Craig said, it's completely unbalanced. You try to find the solution. If you don't have Verratti, you have no transition offensively. But we saw the two goals where players from City come from the sides, and we all know they all do that, and they work, and Kimpembe explained that they're doing it. But they couldn't cope with the situation because the three don't work. And Pochettino, fantastically, decide to, on top of it, at 1-0, to put Di Maria on, where, I don't know what the guy was doing today, he didn't want to run. And on the second goal, he has 10 yards to protect and help a little bit Hakimi, and doesn't do it. So he's not even three players who don't run, it's four. So how do you want to work like that? So I'm not surprised. I could have guessed that at the beginning of the season. If you don't have a full commitment from everybody, it doesn't work. The four last winner of the Champions League, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, and Chelsea, sorry, maybe not in the right orders, are teams which work together with no mega stars. They are stars, but they are there to work for the others, which is not the case of Paris Saint-Germain.
But individually, though, the seven behind, we can... Everything we've said about the front three is correct.
Okay.
They don't run. But you know what? Is it the biggest surprise ever? Not really. The biggest problem they've got is that the seven behind that three can't defend. And so you're not just relying on getting the odd ball going forward to the front three. You know for a fact that you're going to lose goals and they're going to have to work miracles every single time they play against a proper team. So not only have you got the problem with the front three that don't run, you've got seven behind them that actually can't defend. And that's really why you've got the seven.
Stevie, I'm
because when you get those three, you can't ask the other seven to do anything else but defend. And they can't.
You have Marquinhos, which I think was maybe one of the best defender in the world. And today, it was impossible for him to cope with the situation. You would have put Ruben Dias with Paris Saint-Germain. I'm not sure he would have done something better than Marquinhos tonight. Or Kimpembe. Kimpembe was absolutely fantastic the first half and made two good saves. But even Navas looked like somebody who never been the best goalkeeper in the world, even if he made some good saves. He could have been 4-5-0 the first half because the team is sinking because of an unbalanced situation. Now, that's impossible to resolve. And you're a defender, and I was a defender. If my first line didn't work defensively, of course, we're all in trouble. It's impossible to cope, especially against Manchester City.
You have to do a job.
Frank,
as a defender, right, your job is not to complain on the occasions that the opposition get to you. You can't always turn around and say, well, they shouldn't let them get at us. That means you've got to defend. And if you've got players that are not good enough, I'll agree with you, Marquinhos, but I'll tell you what, Kimpembe's average. Mendes at left back was absolutely atrocious. You've got Herrera in the middle, who shouldn't be playing for Paris Saint-Germain. Idrissa Gueye, you're not sure what you're going to get week to week. And Paredes is okay. So you've basically got players that are not good enough. That's the problem.
Here's one of the things, right? When Pochettino was at this is a critical period for Pochettino. This is more critical than when he was out of work, because the pressure of that front three, the pressure of the summer and the transfer of Messi, managing that club, him jumping back in there with one or two eyes on him from elsewhere, Real Madrid down the line, Man United we've talked about, looking for a manager. At Spurs, he had a team where he didn't have to make huge... He had to make decisions, but not huge decisions. When everybody was fit, it kind of fitted.
Right.
Maybe it was Lucas Moura or Dele Alli or whatever. Now, if he wants to save his bacon short term, I think he's going to have to make a huge decision. I don't think they win this competition playing those three players. Now, I don't know what the pressure... I don't know what the pressure is, guys, from the hierarchy, financially, to say, I don't care, right. Make it work. I don't know. Maybe Julian and Frank would know that. However, if he's got any managerial stuff about him, he's going to have to go to one of them and say, we're changing the shape, we're getting an extra body in midfield, particularly against the better teams in Europe, because they're going to cut us apart, and one of you guys is going to have to sit out. That's a manager. He's going to have to make that decision. Otherwise, he goes with this three. They get overrun against the Cities, the Bayerns, maybe the Liverpool and others. And he's going to look bad. It's only going to go downhill unless he changes.
How feasible is that, though, Jules?
I don't think that will happen. I think Craig makes a good point. But
Craig,
I think
but it won't happen, Jules, because he won't do it. Or it won't happen because... The hierarchy at the football club are saying, we don't care, we've given it to you, make it work. That's not a good way to go about it.
No, maybe it's a bit of both. I don't think he wants to drop either of that front three. But there's something that I think he should have tried a long time ago and that we saw a little bit when they needed it badly, like against Leipzig, for example, especially the game in Paris where they were 2-1 down. Go to a back three. Now that Sergio Ramos is back, but you could have done it without Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos now is looking like he can play again. So maybe once he's ready to go, they will try it. But try the back three. Nuno Mendes and Hakimi would be much better as wing backs. Then you can have two in front of your back three. And then that front three with the freedom that they want, whatever. At least try it. He hasn't even... Leipzig.
You've still got the front three. And then
maybe, but at least try something different, Craig. Because none of this is working. Nothing that he's done so far this season in the big games, and sometimes not even in big games, the inability to beat the press. But even in Ligue 1 against Angers, against Nantes, they can't beat the press. The ball goes, they give it away, it goes out in the throw-in. Navas can't play with the ball at his feet. Now they can keep Pembe. Marquinhos, I'm doubting more and more. There's no solution, no movement, no one drops between the lines, nothing. They don't even work on it. So
if he was to drop,
the front three, you're right.
If he was to drop, say, let's just say Neymar, right, for example, who I certainly would be the one out of the three that I would drop, right? If he was to drop them and say play one behind and two, or whatever,
right?
Whatever, just change it. Do something, change it. And they were to go on and win the Champions League, which is a big if at the moment, huge if. His stock, not just for winning the Champions League, but for having the stomach to make the decision. Because if he does go to the Man United or the Real Madrid, he's going to have some huge decisions to make under pressure.
Okay.
It's just not working.
We've done 12 minutes, 30 minutes, all on PSG. I feel like we've got to give Manchester City a little bit of love at the moment. We know they're good. We've seen it, obviously, in the Premier League. There is this swagger about them at the moment. They are favourites to win the competition. What are you laughing at?
Well, summing Man City up is going to take about 3 seconds.
No, but that's it.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
They're great at the back with Diaz and Stones. Yes, the odd occasion, they'll lose a goal.
Right.
And guess what? I've got some good news, some new news off the printer. They need a centre-forward that will score goals.
Why?
Other than that.
Why do they need a centre-forward to score goals?
Well, because they can't keep...
But we've had this discussion for so long, Stevie.
Right. You saw again today how long it takes them to win the game.
But they got it done.
You can't go on for a whole season just...
They did last season.
Well,
they won the league.
Again, I've heard your argument before. They did it last season.
Shut up. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'll tell you what. How did they do in the most important competition that they wanted to win last year?
Right.
How did they do?
Right.
Well, to be fair.
Hold on. Shut up. Answer the question, Thomas. How did they do in the most important game for Manchester City and their owners in their history?
Yeah.
How did they do?
Right.
Yeah,
but did they do that?
Why did they lose?
Because Pep overthrew his tactics.
Why did they lose?
Why did they lose tactics?
So you're not going to blame the fact that they couldn't score a goal with all the possession they got?
Nobody blamed that, Stevie. Everyone blamed his tactics.
No Fernandinho.
No Fernandinho in the centre.
Well, I've got some news for you.
No one sat there and go, oh, they should have had a striker on the pitch.
I've got some news for you. You can shove your tactics where you want,
right?
But when you've got a player up front that can produce a goal from nothing,
okay,
that could and probably would have been the difference between their owners and Man City players having a championship winners' medal.
But we did see Jesus score, obviously.
Well, anyway, their football.
But it takes them 20 chances to score. I mean, come on.
But if you're creating 20 chances, then what's the problem?
That's fine.
Well, the football was fantastic again.
So are they not the best team in Europe at the moment, in your opinion?
Right now, Chelsea are.
Chelsea are better than City?
Right now.
You'd have them...
Well, I'm not sure.
There's a reason why they're top of the Premier League, right?
Well, no, I understand that it's 3 points different.
No,
we could just go to say that about it all the time.
You asked me right now, and I said Chelsea. Right now.
I must admit, City did go and give Chelsea a lesson a few weeks ago. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, but Courtney Dan, it doesn't matter.
Who won the game? Anyway, F's and
Courtney Dan, it's who wins the game.
City have played, once again, it's you know, the football they played was, and the movement and the passing and the rotation and the positions they're taking up is just terrific again.
Right.
I suppose, I do agree in a sense, that is a bat that we can hit them with if they don't win the Premier League and the Champions League, potentially. But
hold on a second. You sat there nodding your head. You're not going to have an argument with him about
because he's talking potential. They're not going to win because they don't have a striker.
I never said that. Your usual selective.
The only thing that
selective hearing.
Why have you getting grumpy
hearing
now?
Hearing things that nobody said.
Jules, it is night and day, though, isn't it? Obviously, you draw the comparison between City and PSG.
Well, yeah, completely. I don't think the gap is too big, and not just in terms of. The way they play, not everybody can play like City, but there's other ways to play and we still be better than what PSG are producing this season. I think City are wonderful to play. We can always debate about the nine or the false nine, etc., but the way they move the ball. And even tonight, with I think Guardiola making a mistake with starting Zinchenko in midfield. I'm not really sure. Maybe he did it to make sure that Messi was under control between Cancelo and Zinchenko. That was a mistake. Zinchenko was not really into the game. After 55 minutes, he takes him off, brings on Gabriel Jesus, and that makes a difference as well, which is very different to what Pochettino did, as we explained before. I think City are wonderful. I think there's not much to separate Liverpool, City and Chelsea this season. If you look at those three in the Champions League, I still think that City have something pretty special, but to watch them tonight again, it's just the coach. Yeah,
I honestly, and this is maybe going to come back to Pochettino at some point. I really believe. I mean, at the moment, Tuchel, but particularly Klopp and Guardiola have been the talisman of the Premier League. I mean, what they do has been immense, and Tuchel, what he did last year in a short period up to now is fantastic. But I do think if Pochettino's opposite number was managing that football club, would the performances be more akin to Man City? I think they would be.
Right.
And I think you'd get more of a tune out of that front three. I think there'd be more of an understanding of what they're doing. I think their ball possession would be much better. And that would mean they wouldn't have to do as much defending.
Right.
So it kind of negates a little bit of their weakness. I'm not saying they have the exact same players to do it, but that shows you what coaching would do at the moment.
Kind of sounds like what you were talking about earlier. Because Pep Guardiola, regardless of it was Messi, Neymar or Mbappe, would say, right, you need to do that, that and that. And if you don't, you're not playing.
Yeah.
Inevitably, as we have pretty much every day, Manchester United, of course, as it stands, still has a vacant position when it comes to a permanent manager. Pochettino, the bookies' favourites now to take over. Jules, report suggesting that Manchester United made their first approach to the PSG coach.
Yeah, that's right. We reported that today on our website, which is part of the strategy, really. You saw the different stages. First, you leak out to ESPN, to newspapers in France, in England, that Poch really wants the job. It's his dream. The next step is PSG is trying to get to understand, okay, let's maybe prepare what would happen if Poch asked to leave, and that's what they've been doing. And then the third stage is United making a first approach. They knew that PSG would sort of reject it in a way. PSG can only allow Pochettino to go if they have a replacement. Zidane hasn't said yes or even no, I believe, at the moment, but that would be a big part of it. But there's nowhere PSG, even against a big sum of money, will let Pochettino go to United without having someone ready to come in to replace him. And when I said someone who they want, who they think will do a good job there, not just you and I or Stevie or Craig. Right. So this is a big part of it, but you knew that United would come at some point. They're going to come back, of course. But just quickly, it shows you as well, for United to make that approach to PSG, that obviously they know that Poch wants to go now. So all that of, I'm happy here in Paris, this is my team, I've got a contract. If United come now, it's because they've been told by Pochettino, come and get me now.
Thank you very much, guys. I think Steve and Craig, I think it'd be a good double act, wouldn't it?
I can't believe Joe said that.
PSG. ESPN FC will be back Thanksgiving tomorrow here in the States. Stevie, me and you'll be here together.
What's on? We'll be here, though.
It's still for Thanksgiving for us.
Is it?
Yes.
Was not.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a result in Group B. What a night as well for Junior Macias. The Milan player scoring what proved to be the winner in the 87th minute to give the visitors all 3 points and keep their hopes alive as well of qualifying for the knockout stages. Remember, this is their first win in qualifying in the opening five matches. Elsewhere, Liverpool beating Porto by 2-0. So it'll be Milan against Liverpool in the final round of matches. Porto taking on Atleti. A win for Porto on the final day would guarantee them a place in the knockout stages. Gab Marcotti with us, Jules, as well. Gab, what a result for Milan.
What a result and what a story. Coming off the defeat, of course, at the weekend, they travel to the Vanda Metropolitano to take on Atleti. Zamagro from the first leg, obviously. They go. I thought they played really, really well. They carved out chances. And then it's like a fairy tale. Their goal scorer, Junior Macias, this is a guy who wasn't playing professional football at all between the ages of 20 and 24, 25. He was working on building sites. He was literally polishing bricks. He was delivering refrigerators. Signed his first professional contract at age 28 and then comes on and he scores a header, which apparently is only the fourth headed goal of his career. And he happens to do it against the best goalkeeper in the world, Jan Oblak. So all told, it's an improbable story, about as improbable as it would be if Milan somehow managed to advance to the round of 16.
Yeah, indeed, that would be another twist. But overall, Jules, it's hard to argue that Milan didn't deserve this.
Completely, and I'm really surprised, and well, surprised, no, disappointed certainly by the tactics from Simeone and Atletico, who look really like they just wanted to keep that 0-0 draw the whole game. And the more the game advanced, and the more defensive they were, and the more that 0-0 seemed like it was a good result for them, suited them, and they never really played. I mean, I don't know, at the end he said he was happy because they did good things defensively, and I'm like, what? And he said, I'm optimistic now, they've got a big game against Porto, and by the way, if Milan beat what should be a B team for Liverpool or maybe even a C team in the next game, then Milan will go through. And Atletico could even be not even in the Europa League. So very disappointing again by the tactics from El Cholo, which I thought was far too defensive tonight. But well done to Milan. They approached the game in the right way.
Yeah, a Milan side that few would have given any sort of chance, Gab, of making it considering their poor start to the group stages. Yet, as Jules alluded to, things could play out on the final day in their favour.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it would take a lot of stars to align here. I think the Porto and Atleti game would have to finish in a draw. But I think it speaks above all to the mentality of this team, to the youth, to the freshness. These people are buying what Pioli's selling when he says, guys, let's go out there. Let's go for it. Let's try to turn this around. Certainly look to me like, you know, they'll look back on the two games against Porto as wasted opportunities. And it would have been a lot more comfortable for them, I think, at this stage, if they'd gotten those points in the bag. But this is a massive, massive confidence boost. And we didn't even mention Zlatan, who came on, did his part as well. So, yeah, they believe.
I don't think he kicked or pushed anyone either when he came on. Meanwhile, Inter through to the knockout stage. It's been quite a bumpy old group, hasn't it? It's sprung up some surprises. But in the end, as you would expect, it is Real Madrid and Inter who will qualify. More Real Madrid in a moment after their 3-0 victory against Sheriff. But Inter, Gab, just getting it done, which is something obviously they have struggled to do in Europe so far this season.
Yeah, and guess what? They actually played really, really well, I thought. They created a whole bunch of chances in the first half. The goals came in the second half. I think they might have had the biggest back three in history in Bastoni, Ranocchia, and then, you know, the smurf of the trio, little Milan Skriniar at 6'3". But, you know, going forward, Dzeko looked really good. Ivan Perisic absolutely devastating down the flank. And again, this is important because we've seen Inter fold so many times in the past. We've seen them get nervy when things weren't going for them. And I think they showed a ton of maturity and they got it done.
Meanwhile, Real Madrid, of course, who lost against the Sheriff at the Santiago Bernabeu in the reverse of fixture, winning this one comfortably, Jules, by 3-0. Karim Benzema on the score sheet in this tie. Of course, significant news regarding his sentencing today. Just explain the facts of it all.
Yes, that's right. He was found guilty this morning in a tribunal in Paris of being for complicity in the blackmail of his teammates, his former teammate Mathieu Valbuena, in the sex tape story. Remember, there was some people who found a sex tape on Mathieu Valbuena's phone. They tried to clearly blackmail him to get some money to not release the sex tape. And Karim Benzema found himself involved in this. He was saying that he was just trying to help Valbuena. The judge and the jury find it completely different. So he was found guilty. He was handed a 1-year suspended jail term, plus a hefty fine of 75,000 euros. He's already appealed. His lawyers have appealed to the sanction. This is a story that happened in 2015, so a long time ago. It took a very long time for justice to be made, or certainly a verdict to come. But now it's not even over, now that he's appealed the decision.
How is this being received in France, Jules, and how will this affect the international cohesion going forward?
So already both Deschamps and Noël Le Graët, the head of the French FA, have said even if he's found guilty, he will still be eligible for the national team. So that's the answer from their front. In France, I think there was a lot of people who just wanted this to be over, whether he was guilty or not guilty. It's been 6 years. We've talked about this story, which is a huge story. It's quite an incredible story. Two teammates, sex tape, blackmailing. So it's big, but it's been a long time. And I think a lot of people just wanted closure almost. Like I said, with the appeal, it's not completely over. And I think there's a lot of people who either thought he was guilty and think he's the right verdict, or the things that he didn't really do much in the whole story when you look at the whole investigation. But at least now we're getting close towards the end of this quite big saga.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. As always, the Gab and Jules podcast are much listened to on Champions League weeks. Be sure to check that out over on the website. The latest edition, of course, drops on Thursday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Done and dusted then in Group C, with still one match remaining. Ajax will finish top. That solidified after that 2-1 victory away against Besiktas. Meanwhile, the big result, Sporting beating Borussia Dortmund by 3-1. They have the head-to-head advantage, so can't be caught in second. So for the German side, they'll have to make do with a place in the Europa League. Gab Marcotti with us. Gab, what went wrong with Dortmund?
Well, obviously, it's the same stuff that's been going wrong, I think, all along. You saw it at the weekend against Stuttgart. A ton of guys missing there. Marco Reus pulled it out. But Sporting are a quality side. And when you've got that many guys missing, when you make defensive mistakes, they come back to hurt you. And you know, like I said, don't be sleeping on Sporting. And certainly Dortmund can't afford to do that.
Is it as simple as if they had Haaland, this wouldn't have happened?
No, I think it would take more than Haaland. It would take Haaland and Reyna and a fully fit Bellingham and all the other guys, I think, who've been missing. Look, Marco Rosa, it's hard to judge him when you've had so many injuries and so many people in and out. But, you know, what you can agree on is that this is a group from which they should have qualified. They ran into an Ajax team who are playing out of their skin. And I also kind of get the sense that chickens came home to roost against Sporting Lisbon, because this is a very, very well-coached side. And obviously in Pedro Gonçalves, they've got one of the foreign players of the tournament. I don't think Haaland alone would have been enough to necessarily tip the balance here.
Well, just a reminder, another full program of German matches here on ESPN Plus this weekend, all starting on Friday. Stuttgart against Mainz, and then on Saturday, Borussia Dortmund away against Wolfsburg. That's one of our 9:30 games, followed by Bayern Munich against Bielefeld. That's at 12:30 Eastern. No Joshua Kimmich for that game after testing positive for COVID. He's out for 2 weeks. Meanwhile, let's focus on what happened, shall we, yesterday a little more. From Italian perspective, of course, Chelsea thrashing Juve 4-0. Gazzetta, Juve are a fourth. Tutto Sport, Shameless. Corriere dello Sport, little Juve. Gab, obviously, no surprise. The media in Italy not pulling any punches after that limp display.
No, because that was an especially bad display against, you know, a Chelsea team who obviously are top of the Premier League, they're the defending Champions League champions, but also had some players missing, and they simply played Juventus off the park. If not for Wojciech Szczesny, I think it could have been it certainly could have been more. Obviously, Juventus, you know, you could make the point that they had players missing, but I think the way things are going for them this season, they really haven't found their way of playing, other than in certain games against bigger opponents, sitting deep and defending. That's what they did when they played Chelsea and Turin. That was never going to work at Stamford Bridge, especially after going a goal down.
Who's getting the blame, Gab?
I mean, look, you can go back and talk about, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo leaving on the last day of the transfer window, not enough time to replace him. But I think the reality is this is a team that took huge hits. It's a team that they lost $300 million over 2 years. I think they made some poor investments on older players, you know, free transfers that actually don't turn out to be free, like Aaron Ramsey, or perhaps players like Arthur, who, you know, was kind of an accounting move when they swapped him for Pjanic. You could argue they stuck too long for Dybala. I think a lot of these things, to be honest, are at front office, sporting director level. When they were going to go into the direction of Sarri and his kind of football, they did it half-heartedly, never got off the ground, didn't quite do it fully with Pirlo, and now Allegri's there to pick up the pieces, and he certainly hasn't found the solution yet.
As always, Gab, thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty of video content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and don't forget to subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. Be sure, though, to stay tuned as Stevie and Craig and Frank LaBeouf will be back as well to answer some of your tweets on Extra Time, which is coming up next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Frank with us, Craig and Stevie as well. Frank, would it actually end up being beneficial for PSG if Pochettino leaves and they bring in Zidane? We haven't seen any convincing performances from PSG this season, and you know Zidane's speciality is managing big stars and winning the Champions League.
Yeah, that might be the right solution. But that's always the same point that we talk about, you know, the fact that it's very hard to handle the dressing room and a kind of a tactic, and how you work with three absolutely fantastic players offensively but don't do anything defensively. And when you add Di Maria on top of it, and we saw that against Manchester City, it doesn't work because you have a lack of numbers when they have to defend, especially on the side, and it's how they've been caught by Manchester City. So it's almost impossible because you have no balance whatsoever with those three players defensively. And in that modern time, you need to be strong on both ways, offensively and defensively. So I would say there is maybe no possibility for anybody to sort the problem out.
Wow. Is that it?
Well, yep, shut the shop.
Shut the shop? Turn the lights off at PSG?
Yeah, well, if you add that to the fact that the three they've got, and you saw today, Herrera, Paredes and Gay.
Yeah.
You talk about overrun, overworked, outplayed the lot. I mean, if you're relying on them to stop the opposition and then get the ball to the front three, good luck winning the Champions League.
Frank, how can Poch get Mbappe, Neymar and Messi to push higher up the pitch and press from the front?
Well, we call that commitment. I don't know, professionalism. I don't know how you want to call it, you know. I saw them so much walking. Well, a little bit Neymar, to defend him a little bit, tried a little bit to defend. But the two others, you know, I mean, they don't care. They don't want to do it. It's not part of their games, and it would never be. So Pochettino cannot do anything. I think it would be useless.
I think what he should do is ask them.
Right. See how they feel.
Yeah, well, what I think he should do is he should get them in the room and ask them about to play this high-pressing energy game.
Right. And what do you think their response is?
Well, then when they stop laughing, sniggering and talking to each other behind his back, he should then realise he's going to go back to the original plan.
Yep.
And try and hope that they score three goals every game.
Stevie, how do you feel when you have a teammate on a different level to the rest of the team, like Salah is right now, and getting all the praise like Barnes was during his early years at Liverpool? Are you happy for him to get all the attention, or do you feel unappreciated?
No, not at all. So hold on a second. All the very well when this guy you're talking about is scoring goals, making chances, working hard, doing all the dirty stuff as well. Why would you have anything other than admiration for him and do everything you can to back him up? Because he's providing you with bonuses, with trophies, with medals, with victories. Absolutely.
Did you ever see it? Did you ever see some jealousy like that?
No. No, because I would say your superstar today has a different mentality than certainly when I was playing.
Okay.
Your superstar, when I was playing, realised that if he didn't put a shift in, then he would very soon be ostracised.
He'd get called out.
But he also realised that when he put a shift in, it would work even more to his benefit.
Right.
Because he would have 10 other people spitting and fighting and doing anything to get him the ball and take care of him. So, your superstar today, I'm afraid, Frankie just summed it up. They walk around.
Right.
And they think it's okay. And clearly nobody tells them that it's okay.
Yeah. Can you tell the story of what Henrik Larsson getting a broken nose in training to kind of bring him back down to earth?
Well, I don't think the intention was to bring him back down to earth. But, yeah, no, he got involved in an incident. I don't know if anybody was to blame over the other, but I don't know if it was just one of those things, but he grafted the same as everybody else.
Right.
I don't remember, you know, and Frank will be this. I mean, imagine Frank was the same. Zola or Viali or Hullet or Larsson at Celtic scoring worldies and getting the headlines, and we're getting the victory, and then we're going, well, we're not getting the headline. Getting the 3 points, happy days. Manager will keep the same team next week, probably. Not too many changes.
Right.
Keep the ship sailing in the right direction. I mean, is that what's worse? That or getting beat?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Frank, what about you from a French perspective and you'll need to be the centre of attention?
Well, no, I've never been frustrated about that. I play with very committed stars. Craig was mentioning Gianfranco Zola, for example, or Zinedine Zidane. They were working hard. They were kind of low-profile players and never trying to get all the lights. And we were ready to die for them. So we worked hard. And we sometimes when I was seeing them not really into the game, I was saying, no, we need you, we need you. And they were working hard, so everything worked perfectly. And I never had any problem with any superstars, and I was very pleased to play with them and sacrifice for them.
Mr. Burley, polite.
I see.
Wow.
Could be anything coming.
Is it the doctor?
Wow.
Is it the doctor?
Wow.
It's wife. That's his wife. That's his wife asking the question.
Why don't Messi and Ronaldo press? Is it something you can do after gaining GOAT status?
Well, I think Messi did do a fair chunk of it at Barcelona.
Yeah.
At one point. I think part of it is the scenario where he's at now amongst, and it sort of breeds a bad, I think that PSG environment breeds a kind of chilled out, relaxed, kind of we're better than everybody else.
Yes.
Scenario. I think Ronaldo's case is, well, both are cases, but he's 36.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that he keeps churning out what he's doing, you know, it's everything else. You get your players and you say, who's good at what?
Right.
Right. I don't ask the John Barnes, or I don't ask Nicol to get 25 goals a season. I don't ask John Barnes to be defending back there. I mean, I want him to do work.
Sure.
But you've got to realise what you're working with, and you're working with two guys in their 30s, one guy's 36. I'm sorry, he's not going to. The fact that he's not the winger anymore tells you all you need to know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Ronaldo in particular.
Thanksgiving, of course, is tomorrow here in the States. Stevie, would you try a turkey meat pie?
Don't tell him.
Would I try it?
Yes.
Yes, I would try it.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. We know what you're like.
If that was it, then I.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind a turkey meat pie?
No, if there was nothing else, gone.
Oh, yeah? How big was the packet of crisps that you had today?
A normal packet, can I?
Yeah.
That size.
It was a bumper packet of chips, definitely.
That size, and he had one. It was definitely that size, yeah.
But you said you were just going to have a few.
Well, I left it up and it went, whoa. Shook it. Not a lot in there.
Yeah.
Craig, why do you bully poor old Stevie for missing international duty? He just happened to get injured on the last game before international duty every single time. In his unfortunate pattern, nothing malicious about it.
Well, I could be talking about myself there. We all used to try it. Friendlies, as it. Not qualifiers. Friendlies.
Yeah. But that's changed now, yeah? You would have to go to international duty.
Yeah, I am still flabbergasted that the players' union allow that to happen.
Right.
I mean, end of the day, it's your choice whether you want to go or not.
Okay.
And it should be, right? Should it not? If you're asked to go and play for your international team, it's your choice whether to accept it or not accept it, right?
Right, okay.
And so if for whatever reason you decide you don't want to go,
right,
that should be the end of the story.
And then you should just retire.
Yeah, but then what if you retire?
No, that's not the problem.
No.
Dan.
No.
That's not the problem. You have the pressure of the clubs. Don't forget that. Right. If you had the choice, you know, the club will come to you and say, you know what, Stevie, if I don't want you to go to the with the national team. And if you go, you know, I will be unhappy and maybe something can happen and you can be on the bench next time. And so you have the pressure of the club. It's why I think they makes it compulsory.
Right, you retire from international football, right?
Yes.
Here's a conundrum.
Yes.
You retire I know you can't answer it. I don't know why you're saying yes.
Well, I'm following you.
Why are you asking him the question?
Well,
if you know he can't answer it.
Just in case somebody goes,
Cornwall FC is dying
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You retire from international football,
yes.
But the manager, international manager, calls you up anyway and keeps doing so.
Okay.
Does that mean, off the back of what he's saying, it's up your choice, does that mean you're then banned from playing for your club within a certain amount of days? You see what I'm saying?
Well, who was the player? Hold on a minute. A couple of years ago.
He's basically unretiring you. He's saying, no, I won't. You
know, right.
That's a tricky situation. Yeah.
Can anybody remember the player who was picked to go, right, and said he wasn't going?
Okay.
And he was told that he had to because of this reason. And he said he was retiring.
Right.
And they said, you can't retire.
Oh.
Who was it? Can anybody?
Here we go.
In my ear, or anybody watching this.
It's Mike. Mike's producer. He doesn't know what day it is, let alone what you're talking about.
I'll guarantee he'll have that information by you by tomorrow.
No, I remember. He's right. I think it was a French guy. But I don't remember. I think it was somebody who wanted to retire, and they called him back.
Lots of old men.
And he said, I don't want to come, but he had to.
Okay.
You're right, Stevie. There was somebody.
I'm sure.
Final thing, Steve, you're going to have to read this. Apparently some Scots can't say this particular phrase.
Yeah.
So this is the phrase here.
Purple burglar alarm.
Oh, there you go.
But I can understand you would get your burglar alarms that all mixed up.
Well, what's the issue? The purple and the burglar alarm bit.
Burglar alarm.
Burglar.
Right, my wife cannot say burglar alarm.
Oh, what does she say?
Intruder. Burglar alarm.
Does she?
She can't say it.
Just get on
We've
the
had this before.
See if she says it.
Honestly. You want to call her up?
Call her up.
No. Only bad things can happen.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Whoever sent that, who sent it in?
But why would a Scottish people, why would anybody say purple burglar alarm?
I don't know, just as a turn
forget
of
the purple. She cannot say burglar alarm.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
I've done it before.
There you are. Get her on the phone, Steve.
What did she say? If somebody comes in,
I'm just going to give her a call.
If somebody comes in your house,
there you go.
What do you say? What did she say? There's what? Is it burglar?
What?
Something comes in
a
your
bugler.
House.
There's a bugler.
Call her? No, I was just texting with her. Let's call her.
No.
Let's see. What could possibly go wrong?
Ask her to say burglar alarm. Right.
Here we go.
Eleanor, can you say burglar alarm?
I know what to say, Stephen.
All right.
I've got nothing to do with this.
Hello?
Can you say burglar alarm for us, please, Eleanor?
Burglar alarm.
Happy holidays to you, Eleanor. Take care.
That's it.
That brings us to the end of it.
That was a burglar alarm.
I told you she couldn't see it.
We will be back tomorrow for more. You'll get in trouble for that, Steve.
I don't think so.
Be sure to join us.